Next up, we're going to have Bayonne. The whole voice over IP space is very interesting right now, because if you simply look at the costs of telephony and the costs of IP, it doesn't work. IP is way cheaper comparatively. So inevitably, voice over IP is going to become very, very big. And Bayonne is a GNU project in that space, which makes it very interesting. So here we have Rich Bodo, who, due to our unfortunate lack of a video Y adapter, is going to be kind of staring into his own little corner here until we get into Q&A, is going to be presenting this. So here's Rich.
Hi. I kind of stole this idea from the GNU radio guys, so I'm just going to type and watch things up here. And I might even get away with doing a little coding or something. So hopefully this will come up in a second here. I envy these guys that work on user interfaces and don't actually have to, lug a lot of hardware around, put a lot of hardware around. Let me see if these are, how these are doing. Okay, this guy's already up. So.
Okay, cool. Just a second.
So I've got I was supposed to be presenting with David Sugar. He got snowed in, so you got kind of the lesser half here of the coding team of Bayonne. But what I focus on generally are applications. Bayonne is a telephony application server, and so when you hear application server, usually that implies there's some higher level languages. It in some way makes application development easy or quick, and there's usually a three-tier development model involved, and that's exactly a precise description of Bayonne. I can pull up some slides and show you a little bit of what it does and some of the architecture. So actually, the three-tier model for Bayonne is really followed by a lot of other similar projects that we want to work with. There's a high-level scripting language for developing telephony applications. And then the server masks, the logic layer, which you can drop down into. You can drop out, just like you would do a three-tier web application, into CGIs. We call them TGIs, Telephony Gateway Interface, instead of Common Gateway Interface. But you can also do it masks all of the interface layer for you too. So databases. For us, the major component of the interface layer is actually the phone system. You don't want to have to rewrite the code that accesses the phone system for, whatever funky telecom card you happen to be using. So we pretty much have made a very strong concerted effort to mask all of that for you and support every telephony interface that, we can find. So I'll start out with my slides here. Well, a little bit of this. Okay, Bayonne is written in C++, and we had to make that design decision early on because a lot of the people who support useful telephony hardware, stuff that interfaces to phone networks and telephones, also use C++, and they were primarily proprietary. So we support any telephony hardware that's really supported under Linux. There's only maybe one or two vendors that we don't support, but most of them are still proprietary. They have proprietary drivers. Really tough market to convince to change. You're coming from one of the most proprietary markets out there. Telephony stuff has always been a very, very proprietary industry, and we've talked to these guys and worked hard with them, but it's going to be a long time before there are very many open source ones. What I'm going to show you today is one of the vendors' cards. It's kind of a new card. It's the only PBX card that has open source drivers, so we're trying to support these guys as well as we can. They do still have some work to do, but there's in the Bayonne model, the concept of a trunk is probably one of the central architectural concepts. In telephony, you would consider a trunk, actually it's a pretty flexible word, but a phone line or a channel. In voice over IP, often these people are calling it channels. Our trunk, basically when it gets instantiated, Bayonne server starts up, it instantiates a certain number of trunks, and just like Apache pre-forking processes, or pthreads. We use pthread. So you instantiate that, and when you need to, we load what's called a script image. And that's the high-level telephony application that you wrote. Everything is done with a real-time asynchronous callback model so that these script images, if you want to calculate it, you can look at it and you can tell, okay, this line of code is going to take exactly this much time. I know that. There's this much step delay in between each step. I can put a begin here, and that will remove the step delays and compile these into one step. So it's a very real-time scripting language. It didn't quite, nothing else quite fit the model, so we made our own scripting language. It's called CCScript. And since it's CodeCon, we'll skip down here. I don't use these graphical things very much, but okay, so we've got what's a good one? Okay, we actually call it CC script or AA script. Those are kind of legacy names. This is basically a basic voicemail system right here. And what we've got are some standard coding constructs and some things that you probably wouldn't notice in other languages so much. If I can find something here. That wasn't a good one. I want to show you how events get done. So these are event traps here. And yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. What's that? Text in. Got it. How's that? Bigger? Okay. We'll go with it. So what you've got here, you'll notice, are events. So it's pretty simple stuff. I'm just going to kind of give you an overview. This is like, these are variables, setting variables up here, play a prompt, wait for a little while, hang up if nothing happens. Otherwise, an event gets trapped, like we get dial tone or a hang up, or a key gets pressed. These are all actually DTMF. Things like that. And based on what happens with the events, we can jump to other scripts. We've got, all the standard coding constructs like loops and so forth as well. So let's see. I'll just try to make a little bit better this point here. This is kind of our idea for a three-tier architecture is that we have interface definition language, what you just saw. Your interface is the telephone, right, if you're the end user. So you've got an earpiece, a mic, and a keypad. So the interface definition is that language. It plays a prompt. It plays a prompt. Waits for you to press this key. It's a state-oriented interface, so it's actually, you do need, a programming language to get through it, But that's our interface definition language. And in the back end, we'll drop down to application logic, you know, this being Bayonne and some other servers that we're working on, and say, like, you know, Apache is a server that we would cooperate with and share application logic with. We can reuse a lot of the code that we write, you know, for CGIs and Bayonne. Let me see. We originally had a much broader architecture, but it's basically still along these lines. Bayonne is a server that has, you know, control scripts. We've got, back-end servers. This guy here, Ewok, is our XML RPC server. And that actually exists under a different name. There are a few other servers here that might be of interest, but primarily, just showing the three-tiered architecture here. This has changed quite a bit. The guy who announced me did mention voice over IP. We did actually just complete an OpenH323 interface, so we don't just interface to the CTI cards. We also can actually interface to H323. Who here actually knows what OpenH323 is? Most of you. Okay. So I'm not losing everybody, but for the rest of you, voice over IP is handled with a session layer protocol that sets up things like what codecs you're going to use, whether or not you're available, you know, handles everything up until the point where you actually have two endpoints connected. And underneath that, the transport, everything on the net that's real-time gets transported via RTP. So it's just like you would expect. And then you just have encoded audio. So OpenH323 is an open-source project that is probably the most important voice over IP protocol for us to support. We've been working on it for a long time. We've just got to the point where the OpenH323 trunk class does basic scripts. So it's kind of exciting for us. And I'm going to drop into David's slides real quick. Try and give you a little bit more of a feel for it. So, yeah, he kind of gives you a better idea of applications that you might use. So the things that you might use this for, and the things that we've used this for initially, the Bayonne system, are voice response systems, and that's any type of system that you would call in and interact with a computer. So, you know, the press 1 to 2, 1 to record, 2 to play, that type of stuff, but also things that give you information from databases, other network applications. These types of systems are generally in call centers. And call centers are usually implementing some kind of either inbound or outbound application, usually to replace humans with computers. You know, it saves them some time and it's necessary. And as it turns out, those types of systems are a really, really common use for a flexible PC-based system. So it's one of the types of systems that drove computer telephony for a long time. And it was the easiest thing for us to first support and also to help fund our development. So we've been stable with Bayonne as a 1.0 server for some time, doing interactive voice response applications. As it turns out, what most small businesses want and what most, you know, hackers would want is just a small, you know, system to replace some of the proprietary telephony equipment that they have, you know, laying around or that they feel, you know, tied into. And developing a truly open source system like this is, you know, kind of been a long time coming, especially for us. We haven't been able to concentrate on that. But I'm going to demo today what we consider a beta version of a PBX with voicemail ACD, basically a small business phone system replacement that we're just now getting around to be able to support. So that's another thing that we do. Stuff like CRM, you know, voice messaging, that's all real common stuff to use for Bayonne for, and it's used commercially by a lot of commercial entities. You know, Freddie Mac uses us for a call center, Sun Microsystems. There are a lot of big companies out there actually using it. So. Let's see. There are some other little servers that we've been working on. There's a database server. It's basically a DBMS for us. It does some things that are sort of real-time. So, for instance, when you want a real-time RDBMS, you just want a response within a certain amount of time, whether or not it's, you know, hey, man, I can't get your data. So these types of little wrapper things are ancillary things that we need. So we're working on things like that. We actually have some specs that we've generated for them and some code. Let's see. So OpenH323 is, as I mentioned, a fairly well-known project. Implements this very, very complex ITU protocol that nobody ever thought, you know, would get implemented open source. And, you know, we now have an interface to it. We're really happy about that. This actually enables us to do things like hop onto PSTN gateways or serve applications through H323. Actually, there's a really big market for selling H323 trunks. Basically, large amounts of bandwidth are allocated to companies, and there's service guarantees made for a number of H323 channels. And you can buy cheap access that way. So that's something that's going to be really useful. It's typically, though, used on trunk side right now. By trunk side, I mean out in the public network. On the station side or behind the firewall in network terms, people are using people in other protocols, IETF protocol. It's much more popular for things like Ethernet phones. It's called SIP, Session Initiation Protocol. And so SIP is on the list, but OpenH323 is in 1.2. So we're in 1.1 now, and that got in just before the feature freeze. So I probably don't have a ton of time, so I'm going to just grab some terminals here and try and do a demo or two. I can't see the top of this thing. Okay. Font. Crank the size up there. There we go. Maybe even bigger. Did that work? No. Okay, something. Okay, I don't know if you guys are going to be able to see it. What's that? What's that? You know, I don't know. I just loaded this machine because I had nothing that ran XWindows. Oh, okay. Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah. Multibyte. That's disabled. Okay. And what? And what disabled? Okay. Thanks, man. Let's see if this gets any bigger. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Oh. Too big.
Now we're screwed. Oh well. Like we get, what the? Yeah, that didn't work too well for me. Okay, you know what? I can deal. Because I have two computers here. Just a second. All right, so I'm just going to give you a demo of the phone system here. I'll show you a few things, and then I'll go back to the web page and show you a few more slides about it, because this is going to be a lot clearer. So I'm starting up the server, and you can see that when it starts up, it's doing something. It's actually syntax checking code and compiling scripts. And okay, it had a problem opening a device. I'll fix that in a second. Basically, when you start up Bayonne, it does all the syntax checking for you, and then when you get back to doing development, you never actually have to take the system down. You can give it commands to recompile scripts, and it'll pick up the next time you recompile. The next caller will actually get the new application. Okay, well, one other thing that I can show you actually is that I'll have to actually relink that driver, but one other thing that I can show you actually is that we support a sound card interface too, so when I do development, I usually do most of my development on a laptop with just the sound card interface. And basically you just do keystrokes to, okay, it's looking for this specific application that isn't in the path because I use the source path, but let me show you that application. Okay, so anyway, you can use the keyboard to simulate DTMF events, and spacebar is just step, and it's going through some steps here, and then keyboard input. You can see it's going through and logging all of the digits and so forth. page to hang up, stuff like that. So that's a real simple demo of Bayon actually running. So let me get the phone system back up, and I'll show you the other demo. Okay, just a... Okay, so I'm gonna have to actually relink those. I don't know how this card changed its, driver on me, but it, obviously, just changed major and minor numbers on me. One reboot. I'm actually gonna show you, the web interface real quick, so that if we don't have time to do this, I can give you guys a demo of some other stuff shortly, or afterwards. I'll show you something that we just did for the last Linux World. Okay. Okay. I've got to be setting a record here of some kind for messed up demos, but would have helped to be able to read it. Okay. Okay, Webmin set up for a different network, so anyway, we have a cool Webmin interface that I probably would really like to show you. Mark just wrote it for Linux World, so it's pretty neat. Thank you. Okay. This is really ticking me off. Well, anyway, we have a nice webmin interface, and we have a nice application server here. I'm just going to show you some code so that you can actually see some of the stuff that we do, because I have like about 2 minutes. So this is our PBX application. It's a stateful application. It's probably one of the few applications in Bayonne that actually uses really uses the state engine properly. Basically, it has we have a these are tags up here. We have a different tag for each. They basically define a new script. We have a different tag for each state. So there's a dial tone state and what happens based on events in a dial tone state. We can, you know, based on certain events, we can go to other states like intercom. We have voice messaging application built into this. We have ACD. We have a number of other fairly cool apps built around it. Some of the things that you can kind of do with this application that you couldn't do easily with a proprietary system, for instance, we have a lot more user settings and things that can be user definable. For instance, the say like somebody wants to have different music on hold when you go to their station, or they want to handle their passwords differently, or they want to have a special, say a department or a group wants to have specific IVR application associated with their group such that they get some information from you before you actually reach them. You know, things like blocking telemarketers, administering systems, you know, there are tons of application ideas out there, and people are generally the people who have found this right now, because we've been pretty obscure to this point, have generally really needed it for something specific. So the flexibility is pretty key for them. So that's one of the key things they use. And I'll show you one other thing that is kind of a yeah. Okay, I'll just show them one other file then, real quick. So one other thing that I can show you in the code here is that, for instance, say when somebody's logging in, I've got a bunch of different kinds of logins for this particular voicemail app. There's one that checks a Perl database, and it just checks it up against password. Another one that does one-time passwords. So basically I have a little script that just generates 100 random one-time passwords, and it peels off a password from the end of a file and deletes that password and checks it against the user's input. There are lots of other ideas for making voicemail a little bit more secure that you can do with this. You know, really, the only thing you can stop people who are motivated, people who are from doing, is poking around in there once you're gone and having, you know, either one-time passwords or passwords that are in some way more secure is a good thing. Anyway, so there are other things in this voicemail app too that are kind of cool. I have an integrated messaging daemon. Once you have your files on a PC, I just wrote a Perl script to monitor a directory and send links to any changed files. And that basically implements via email an integrated messaging app. So you have all of your messages in one place. You never have to check your voicemail if you choose to do so. And I think most of the people who use Bayonne as a voice messaging system do that because they don't want to check their voicemail. Anyway, it's time for Q&A, so.
Hi. If I want to start using Bayonne at home to replace my answering machine and play with it, how much money do I have to lay in for hardware?
The minimum you would have to do is pick up something to interface to the phone network. The one thing that we don't support are voice modems, which are really, really cheap, and it would be great if we did. It's just there's been absolutely no incentive for me to do it because I make systems that I generally sell to other people, and people give us cards all the time. So we're looking for people to add voice modem support. We did actually put some effort in. There's one voice modem that's a host processing modem that's about $5, in quantity. And I bought about 50 of those, gave them away. I ported there was a driver that existed. I ported it to, modern kernel, and nobody wrote the interface for Bayonne. So, people can't be that desperate, to have a telephone system on real, low-end hardware. Yeah. Does it? Okay.
But how much does the card that Bayonne does support cost?
Well, Bayonne supports basically hundreds of cards. So the card, the minimum card you could use would be probably something like a few hundred bucks. Yeah. I mean, and that would be a four-port card.
So how much sort of more interesting telephony stuff does it support? Like, so you have a PBX, does that actually support doing like real branch exchange stuff where you can set your ANI and stuff like that? And do you support more like higher level stuff? So if you actually have like, A-links to like a tandem or something, you could actually be a real switch and, try and implement a CLEC, soft switch kind of thing with this stuff.
The PBX is pretty nascent. What we do support, on the higher end, what we've just got support for is the DM3 line of cards from Dialogic, which actually are used in carriers quite a bit. And those cards go up to, Quad E1, and we have a number of installs of Quad E1 systems out there. Probably the largest system that I've seen out there running Bayonne is 480 ports, but that guy has four of them in the UK, and they're actually an IVR ASP that is doing an outsourced phone system with Bayonne. And that's something that you can do that actually we're implementing for ourselves. We started out with a four-port card, and we don't have a whole ton of needs. We're a tiny little company. And it's just doing voice messaging and, ACD for us. But if you put that in a co-location, all of a sudden you can have a pretty virtual enterprise, especially if you're really distributed anyway and you want a single presence. That's, one way to do it. To have, calls that come in, and redirected or joined to, a support agent or a sales agent, or whoever. The ANI, you can set, that depends on the card's API. So basically anything in the APIs we support, and that's another reason that we have our own scripting language, and stuff like, and call state, you have complete control over call state. I mean, joins in this, I can show you an application here that's a support application. It's super simple. It's like a five line, support call center. But you get a lot of information from the join. You definitely get DNS. You definitely get ANI. Whatever you get from the card, basically.
I can only imagine that a voicemail system actually costs quite a bit of money. And so I was wondering what your motivations were for writing a system like Bayonne that you can implement one of these apparently fairly cheaply.
Well, we actually. Although we're a pretty small company, we actually each have spent most, pretty much our whole careers in telephony industry, and been in a number of companies that have done it wrong, and we kind of saw that this is the pretty much the right way to do it. That's the way we felt about it anyway. The one thing that we didn't feel that strongly about was using, you know, C++ and a threaded model, but as it turns out, everybody else does, even the OpenH 323 guys, so it turned out to be a good idea. But, you know, pretty much our initial motivation was we wanted to do it right. You know, we also want to support ourselves and, you know, hope to, you know, do great things. My goal primarily is I just want to get the dang thing finished. You know, we're at the point right now where we almost have, we're like, kind of like new radio, where we built all the infrastructure and there's no high-level applications, or we're just working on them. And so, you know, all I want to do is that. And unfortunately, because we funded ourselves with this business, I have no time to do it. So it's kind of a chicken and egg. So we are really looking for people to help with development on the high-level apps, which is kind of the easy part now. So at least hopefully we can make it easy. So that's about it.
Any other questions?
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Sorry about the demo. I'll get that working and show it to you later. I have an old busted up Pentium laptop without X Windows in my car that I can show you a demo of Bayonne on. Just for some reason, this machine wanted to reverse itself when it rebooted. Okay. Thanks, guys.